Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Hugh Weber is with us. He is the host of the Potluck Society. You can find it wherever you download your podcasts. You can also find it on our website at listen.sdpb.org. Hey, Hugh.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I am doing well. Who are we meeting today?
Oh, we're so fortunate this week. Every week I say that I'm bringing someone ordinary that's building extraordinary communities, but this week I'm just bringing someone that's extraordinary, so yeah. I hope that's okay.
That's fine with me.
This is Kimberly Tilson Braveheart. She's the owner of Painted Sky Management, where she leads trainings and designs special events that are really focused on entrepreneurs and economic development. So in short, she's a consultant. But it's clear when you talk to her that there's this real, her real passion is for food. It's a creative exercise. It's a conversation starter. It's a way to bring family and community together. So we're going to share a couple clips from that conversation that'll become a podcast in coming weeks. But I started by asking her, as I do with so many conversations, where that passion comes from. And many people pause and think about it. She answered without any hesitation. And it's a beautiful context of both her cultural heritage and personal passion.
I am Lakota and Jewish. Both are very, I would say, tribal cultures. And culturally, from a very young age, on both sides of my family, food played a very intricate part of every gathering, whether it be for a funeral, which, you know, unfortunately in Lakota culture and because of socioeconomic reasons is real. And so I remember being a little girl and literally being in a kitchen with all of my aunties making soups and fry breads and pie crust all through the middle of the night to prepare for wake and to prepare for a funeral. And I remember this like weird thing that Lakotas give cakes at a funeral. I don't know if you've ever been to one, but they like in honoring somebody, someone will order a cake with their name on it. I always thought that was so strange as a child. And then I remember asking my mother about it and her saying, well, it's because of the sorrow and heartbreak of the death, we offer the sweetness to lighten, to give that person some peace. And I thought, wow, that's so beautiful. And so I would say in the last 3 years, I've wanted to spend time learning about why we make certain foods, when we make certain foods, and not just for my Lakota family, but also my Jewish family. And it's very much the same, I would say the same thing. You know, we make latkes in December for Hanukkah. We make matzah ball soup for Seder. We make the Seder plate for Seder in the spring. We have apples and honey for Rosh Hashanah, you know, so this weird combination of the power of symbolism when it comes to food. And I think that because of fast food, we've lost some of that importance, symbolism of what does it mean? Why are we eating it? When are we eating it? And on both cultures, it's very much the harvest, right? You're following the harvest season of what are we eating? Why are we eating these things? And I love the stories that come from those foods.
I love her, Hugh. Yep.
Yeah,
right. I'm all in.
She is easy to love from the start. And this was an hour-long conversation where we talked about things like how long it takes to make good food and how her children, you know, aren't being raised to expect something quick, but they're expected to be participants and contribute. I said at some point, I said, you are like the prototype Potluck Society guest.
Right.
This could not be better. You know, it's clearly her passion, but something that really, it caught me off guard because I watch her on social media and other places where she shares some of the dishes that she's creating. This is clearly about more than just the tasty meal. So I asked the question, what really inspires her about food and the process of making it?
What I love about food in general is actually not even the eating, believe it or not. I love the minute that you are foraging either outside or at a grocery store and you're smelling whatever it is and you're feeling it and the actual sensory experience of gathering to prepare for the food. And I love visiting with people when I'm cooking. And I, in both my Lakota family and my Jewish family, that is like an element. And I feel like that those conversations seep through the senses into the food of what you're preparing. And good food takes time. You know, everyone wants, I got to feed my kids in 15 minutes. And, you know, and I'm not raising my children that way. I'm raising my children where they come into the kitchen and they tell me about their day. And, you know, they're as early as 3 years old, chopping little things to help prepare for the food, and that they understand that that preparing for food is a part of who our family is. And their stories also are wrapped into that, whatever we're eating that night. And I enjoy figuring food out. You know, I never, even my grandparents' recipes, I don't go by the recipes. You know, I know you know me, so it's a, I'm very organized, and I'm a planner by nature, but I feel like food gives me a place of freedom that I don't have in the rest of my life. And I think that to me is where, like, I find so much sanctuary in it, is that I get to play, you know, I get to say, I can make mistakes while I'm doing it. And most things I make are gorgeous and beautiful and taste delicious. But I also have tasted things where I'm like, oh, that was pretty rough.
I cut her off there because I just couldn't bear to share this story outside of the podcast. But she goes on to tell a story about a day-long process of making pasta that just didn't go well. And and how part of that process is, it's why you enjoy the process. It's why you elevate the conversation,
yeah.
You know, which I love that sense about them seeping into the food.
Right.
The senses.
Yeah.
She's stunning in the way that she describes it, almost a poetry.
And I'm fascinated by this sense of food being freedom, because so many people see food, you know, as an enemy, or the restrictions of food, and have a negative relationship with food. But here's somebody who says, you know, that's the freedom time where I can change things and play with things and do different things. I love that. I haven't heard that perspective before, I don't think.
There's the experimentation side of the freedom. Another thread that we travel down with her is what it provides people as far as lifestyle, to be eating well, to be
right,
healthy, to be eating nutritious. And so it's freedom not only in the context perhaps of the creation, but also in the ripples that it extends into people's lives that choose to eat well and be connected to family around mealtime. It certainly was convicting to me and made me want to slow down around mealtime and prepare with my kids, which we try to do, but it's easy to get caught up in the trap of not enough time and needing to do it quickly. So she inspired me to be a better parent in the conversation.
I cooked all last week. I was on vacation. I cooked every night, and I cannot tell you the delight that felt just to be in the kitchen. And again, like you said, taking the time and having the time to do that, well worth it. Plus, Hugh Weber, from my own tradition, it is almost lefse season now, so I'm just pretty excited to start rolling lefse. I'm terrible at it.
Aunt Pat always brought the best lefse to the potluck, yep. So I might have to call Aunt Pat to bring some for you.
Okay, I want actual samples then when that happens. Say hi to Aunt Pat, and thank you so much for this. We'll listen to the podcast, the Potluck Society. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts. When it's ready to go, you'll find it there. Subscribe. Hugh Weber, thanks.
Thank you, Laurie.